The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when they came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the gospel reading today, God warns and rebukes you, he teaches you, and he comforts you. He does all of these things in this parable you heard spoken by your Lord Jesus. He calls you then to have ears to hear, to listen to what he says, and take all of this to heart as his people. Now, from the get-go, it matters who God is and how he operates in his kingdom. The Lord teaches this clearly. Jesus began by saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." So to know God and to trust God goes along with how he works. So with that, Jesus compares God's kingdom, his rule and his reign, to a master who owns a vineyard. We know that that vineyard is a common image of the Gospels, a common image in the Gospels of the church and in the Old Testament as well for God's people. Isaiah uses that term a lot. Now what follows then in the parable, after Jesus has established he's talking about God and his kingdom, is his work. So he goes on and says, "After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.'" So you see God operate in calling his people. You see him place his people into the vineyard. You see him call them to tend and work his vineyard, even as Adam in Genesis before the fall was called to tend and work the garden and give names to the animals in God's creation. So you see in this that there is a beauty in all of God's people and the work that has been assigned for them to do. And you see it's the same for you as well. You see that you have been assigned in the church, your family, and the world work. Work as a Christian is good. It's not to be shunned, but extolled and encouraged. And God teaches you, and you are to follow his instruction. Article 4 of the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord on good works rightly confesses, quote, "In believers, good works are signs of salvation," just as we sang a few minutes ago, "when they are done from true causes and for true ends. That is, in the sense in which God requires of the regenerate. It is God's will and clear command that believers should do good works. The Holy Spirit works this in believers, and God is pleased with good works for Christ's sake. He promises a glorious reward for good works in this life and the life to come." And so we see this fruit of our faith, these good works that God not only commands us to do, but teaches us and places us to do within his church, within our families, and within the world around us. So the first warning and rebuke is for you as Christians to not neglect what God has given you to do. Look at the commandments. Examine your life. See what they teach you. Look where God has placed you and called you. Do not be apathetic. Don't be lazy as a Christian in your vocations. That's sinful to do so. This is why daily you're called to crucify that old man and to set your minds on the things of God. In the epistle reading, God through St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So St. Paul uses that athletic image, right? And we think of today with football and all the practice, all the hard work that's put into something that will be gone at the end of the season, right? And the next year, have to do it all over again. But we think about as God's people and what he has called us to do, that which is imperishable, that doesn't fade away, that which is lasting and eternal. God then orients you to be steadfast in putting your head to the plow, whatever that may mean, and finding contentment where God has called you. Good works are a fruit of your faith. They're good, and God finds delights in them, as so does your neighbor. This is who you are as God's new creation in Christ. You're a new man living in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. And you too will find joy. You have joy in living in accordance with God's word and walking according to his way. It's the path of life and the way that looks at the world differently and in a spirit of sacrifice for your neighbor, loving him and serving your Lord. It's a life lived in the kingdom of God that serves and does as one has been called to do. So the parable goes on, as Jesus said, and when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity so the last will be first and the first last?" So here then, when everything comes to a head, when the day's work is done, evening is upon them, day laborers receive their wages, their day laborers. Yet some are upset, but why? Do they look at what's given to them and say, "Wait, what's FICA?" No, the ones who were hired first are upset that they received the same as those who worked only an hour before the day's work was done. Really, they're upset at the master. And why does the master do this? Well, he told them. Did you catch it? He told them they would receive a denarius, and later he said, "Whatever is right, I will give you." He said that to the next group. So the master gives them not only what he promised them, but what is right and just. The first ones hired are offended because they think they deserve more. Or rather, we should say they think they are entitled to more. So the second warning here is also for you. Jesus shows you how you are to be toward your neighbor, especially in the household of faith. And it's twofold. It's tempting to want to have the same heart and the same mind as those first workers. Think about how you have been in the church your whole life, baptized as an infant, endured the times of hardship, times of sacrifice, hard work in the church and in your lives for the sake of Christ, and then those who have maybe rejected the faith their whole lives and then on their deathbeds confess their sin. The Holy Spirit works faith through his word. Their sin is forgiven. They are baptized and they are received into the eternal kingdom of God. Not once did they miss something else to go to church on Sunday. Not once did they miss meals or time in the evening because they had a meeting at church. Not once did they face ridicule and insults for standing up for God's word and lost the love of family members and friends in the process. No, now in the last hour, they have been called into the vineyard. Think also about when your neighbor receives something good or perhaps even better than you. Are you to begrudge him? Are you to try and see that you are not left out or that somehow have the final say and final commendation? Coveting what doesn't belong to you is sinful. Looking down on your neighbor is sinful. Repent of those things. So what is to be your response and your heart then towards this person? Romans 12 teaches you, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So when your neighbor receives what is good, you are to rejoice. When someone is brought into the kingdom of God, possibly even his last breath in this world before his last breath is taken, get down on your knees and give thanks that this has happened. Why? Because in all of this you see and you fix your eyes on the whole point of what Jesus is teaching you today in this parable. And this is where you find great comfort. Everything comes back to the master. The thing about the master of the vineyard is he's gracious. He's merciful. And you see, that means everything for all the laborers in the vineyard, and that means everything for you. because his generosity is your salvation. So the master gives what is just and right. Whatever is just and right. So here's the thing. Why is this just and right? It's out of his grace, mercy, and generosity. Why is that? Well, the word is related to ones and that is are right throughout the Gospels and the New Testament of a whole, as a whole. There is one who is just and right, and God counts his work to you and for you. So the master gave them what is right and just, and God does the same for you. He gives to you out of his grace on account of Christ. Because God is righteous, and Jesus Christ is the righteous one. The colloquy of the day you prayed a few minutes ago puts it this way. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequences of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. So your plea is that your Lord would treat you just like the master of this parable. You pray, you cry out in this way because you know exactly how your Lord will indeed treat you and look at you. The workers had promised what their wages would be, and your Lord has made promises to you as well. You know what you will receive on the last day when you stand before the Lord. Because you see, he's already told it to you. He's already given it to you and continues to give it to you. You're baptized into Christ. Your sin is forgiven. You take into your mouths the very true body and real, the very body and blood of Jesus. So you see, dear people of God, there is one who has done the work that pays for your salvation, and it's finished. Jesus has done the full work of the day. He has endured the scorching heat. He has faithfully done it all completely and obediently as only he can do. His righteous life, his atoning death are now counted to you by the Father as his glorious resurrection proclaims this to you this very day. And this is just, this is right. And that brings you then back to the parable. The generosity of the master is great, and thanks be to God for that wonderful mercy found in Christ. So don't lose sight of the master and his generosity, because he who called you is faithful. And so the days may be long at times, the work may be hard, but you know the promise of the master, and it's good and righteous what he has promised. You know the one who did the work you cannot do, and he has paid the price you owe but cannot fully pay. You know Christ, you know his promises, and you look toward the end of the day when no one can work any longer. You look forward to that day when you stand before the Lord and with your calloused hands and the sweat dripping down from your brows, the Lord sees only the crucified hands of the Son and blood dripping from his thorn-pierced head when he looks to you for your salvation. So you find your confidence solely and completely in him and know that he has promised you will see the day of glory where our joy is complete. And because of Christ, the Lord will say to you also on that day, well done, good and faithful servant. And you will reply, I have only done what is my duty. And on that day too, you will look around and you'll see those who may have only been working for a short time, perhaps only a few hours or moments, but you will share in their joy. You will see those who have sinned against you and God worked repentance. The martyrs of the faith will stand shoulder to shoulder with some of those same people who brought about their earthly end, but God graciously converted them. And you will all stand together as the body of Christ around the throne of the Lamb, washed clean in his blood. You will sing his praises, for he has done marvelous things, not just for you, but for those who are in your company as his saints. There will be no evil eye on that day, but eyes which see the Lord and behold him as he has graciously saved you by his blood. And the joy will be a shared joy, even as the Lord has shared his great and glorious work for your redemption and gives it to you freely. The work in the vineyard will be over, and the fruits will be consumed as the choice wine which overflows at that great feast. And that is no generosity to begrudge, but a generosity that knows no end and enlivens your hearts with the joy which springs forth from this salvation which has come unto you by God's good grace and favor in Christ alone. And so there is great and glorious comfort and this parable for you today, dear people of God, because it means that God is true to what he says. He is generous and gracious towards you in Christ. God promises you what is yours, and it all depends on what Jesus has done. True, there will be those who don't receive the denarius at the end of the day. This parable, however, doesn't address that here, but next week you hear about that. The point, though, today is this reading, in this reading from Matthew, is that all receive the same because God is good. God's grace is a wonderful thing indeed. So the favor of God is towards you because of Jesus and his work done on your behalf. God's face looks and shines upon you because your sin has been atoned for by Jesus and you are baptized into his name. This life is lived under the cross, and sometimes the work is backbreaking. Sometimes it looks like the day will never end and that promised denarius will never be seen. But the day will end. The night will come when no work will be able to be done. On that day, though, you will rest with Jesus and all his saints, reaping the fruit of Christ's labor for you. You will sit, you will drink the fine wine of salvation, which overflows at the eternal wedding feast, and you will sit and feast with the Master himself. God is gracious and merciful. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.